Let's see. All right. Hey, everyone. My name is JP Lehr. I'm the fourth presenter that has this logo on the slide, so apologies for stuffing the dev room, but apparently we're somewhat active here. So I'm going to talk about programming is fantastic, it's needed, and infra is, yeah, you know, you can fill in the blanks, whatever you think infra is. I think it's needed, but it's also, I would hope it's somebody else's job, but guess what? Anyway, why do we actually care? Why do we care about stuff? So we test upstream LLVM for two reasons. One is we have many people working immediately in upstream LLVM, and of course we want to support their development, right? We want to support our upstream developers. So most of our actually backend work for AMD GPU is done upstream. But also we want to guard downstream ROCm because we actually merge upstream changes into downstream ROCm 3 times a day. And whenever something breaks upstream and it hits a certain window where we pull in the changes for the merges, we break our internal build of ROCm too. And we don't want to have that. And this is why we actually test upstream and test upstream more and more and more. And so we're bringing up more upstream testing. Now, in this presentation, I'm going to talk about my journey when I kind of inherited the then existing build bots and, you know, towards bringing online more build bots and working towards also potentially bringing online pre-commit testing when you open APR such that we actually run on GPU tests if you touch stuff that we care about. Okay, so since it's about my journey, first things first, LLVM testing landscape, there's 3 different technologies in use here. So one is you have GitHub with their GitHub Actions and their GitHub Runners for some of the testing. So for example, I think libcxx fully relies on GitHub Runners and GitHub Actions for the testing. Then there's BuildKite. The current pre-commit testing is actually done. There's a GitHub workflow that puts together a string, which is a BuildKite pipeline definition, and then sends it off to BuildKite to test your PR changes through BuildKite and then report the result back to GitHub. I think this is going to go away at some point, but it's still there right now. And this is pre-commit. And then there's BuildBot. And BuildBot is the whole post-commit fleet. And this talk is mostly about BuildBot. Simply because that's where I put most of my energy so far in. And pre-commit is a little more new. So first of all, BuildBot, let's talk a little bit about terminology. And I have this slide. There was a talk from David Spickett at the 2022 LLVM Dev Meeting. If you're interested in the BuildBots, I would highly recommend this talk because it goes into much more detail what it is being a BuildBot maintainer. But just for terminology-wise, so BuildBots, it's orchestrated. You have a BuildMaster. That's a server that's run by Galena, so thank you, Galena. And then you have what is called Builders. Builders are kind of the logical entity that typically would build a configuration of LLVM. And these builders then run on a worker, and a worker is more or less the physical machine or the actual thing that does the computing. So you can have a builder to worker mapping of 1-to-1, you can have 1-to-n, you can have, you know, you see it there. In our case, we always run a single builder on a single worker. So there's no like weird or more crazy setup. If you scan the QR code, that's the link to David's talk. Just be aware. I have another, I think, a couple of slides more where there's QR codes. So this is the YouTube link to his talk. See? Oh, one thing to remember is the specification of the setup of these builders and these workers, that's maintained in what is called the LLVM Zork repository. So there's a separate repository for that. Okay. More terminology. In the repository, you will find building blocks that allow you to, you know, write your build bots. So for example, there's something that's called an annotated builder. That's kind of you build your own builder thing. So you have to script everything and tell it exactly the steps that this thing should do. And then there's more convenience, kind of off-the-shelf things. So one, for example, is the OpenMP builder. This is kind of a standard way of building OpenMP in LLVM. And the way this looks like is you have some sort of like Python stuff where you say, I have a builder name on a worker, and it has a certain build directory. This has to be unique across the whole fleet of everything. So that's typically then why you put the build directory to be the same like the builder name. And then it depends on certain projects, and you invoke a script, and so that's one of the annotated builders. OpenMP builder wouldn't fit here. But anyway, our current BuildBot fleet roughly looks like this. So this is production. We have about 8 production bots right now. And I'm going to talk you through how we arrived here. So let's first look at I put this timeline here, and what I call the inherited time is the initial time when I actually inherited to take care of these build bots. Then there's an intermediate time where I played around, then there's the current time, which is now, and then there's a bright future, right? Everybody likes the bright future. Okay, so we start with the inherited time. Inherited time was we had 3 machines, basically, one for HIP, one for OpenMP, and one that basically just did the same thing as the OpenMP bot then. The third machine mirrored what the OpenMP machine was doing. And then when you wanted to make changes, you would bring up a PR against Zork, you would land it, and then from Zork it would like trickle down into the builders. For the staging bots, that would happen every 2 hours. For the production bots, you would need to send Galene an email that she needs to like bring it into the production bots. And this merging into staging, again, every 2 hours, unless there's a problem in the Zork repository. But you don't know, because there was no linting, no testing, no anything. So it was like, I did submit a change to Zork 8 hours ago. It didn't trickle down. Did I do wrong? Did somebody else put up a patch? And so sometimes you just got an email from Galena telling you, oh, I landed your patch because there was something broken 4 commits before yours. And it was kind of a mess. But anyway, so typically it worked, and the builders didn't need too much attention. So everything's fine. We have 3 machines. But then we discussed, there's 2 machines doing the same thing. That's kind of annoying, because we were bringing in more stuff. And for example, Joseph Huber started his work on libc for GPU, and so we wanted to test that, right? Okay. And does it work? The intermediate time. Okay. So we had the setup. And then libc came along. Okay, so let's just make this thing also test libc. Libc on GPU. So libc on GPU is tested on AMD GPU. And then there was a change that broke our internal ROCm build, but on SUSE Linux 15. What is the default GCC version? Anybody knows? 7.5. Typically, developers do not use GCC 7.5 on their regular. So they use things from C++ 17 that are not present in GCC 7.5, right? And so that would break. So we brought online more builders, specifically a SLES builder. So we would actually catch these things when they land. We also then put in RHEL 8,